Okay, Tucson Parks Campus Recreation Commission meeting, January 25th, 2023. Roll call. Commissioner C. Pope.
I'm here.
Commissioner Leanne Gessy.
Here.
Thank you. Commissioner Robin McArdle. Here. Commissioner Becky Quintero.
Here.
If we have a quorum, and we may proceed.
All right. Let me see if I can read the call to the audience. Can you move it up just a little bit because it's under the there we go. All right, thank you. All right, that's even better. Nope, now you need to move it up a little bit more. It's under something here. Thank you. All right. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on the future agenda or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the call to the audience. Diana, do you have anyone who has requested to speak?
I did not previously, but we do have two members of the public. Did you want to speak to call to the audience at all?
Nothing in particular at this moment.
Thank you. No, we do not, Mr. Pope.
We do not have any call to the audience. Okay. At this time for the chair election and the discussion, I would like to turn it over to whoever is taking it over.
Steve, we skipped item number 2, the approval of the minutes.
I'm sorry, that's my fault. Yes, I did. I went right to the call of the audience. Okay, let's go back to the approval of the minutes from the December 28th meeting. Hopefully you have all had a chance to take a look at it. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to the December 28th minutes? I hear nothing from here. How about anybody in the room?
No.
Okay. If there's no objections, then I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the December 28th, 2022 meeting.
Mr. Phillip, this is Becky. I will make a motion to accept minutes as submitted.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Manon. We have a motion and we have a second. All those in favor? Oh, any discussion? All those in favor of approval of the minutes for 12/28/22, please say aye.
Aye.
Or raise your hand or something. Aye. And any opposed? All right. Please show that that's unanimous. And now let's go on to item number 4. Which is the chair election discussion. Who's taking it over from here?
I guess I am, but I've actually never had to do this for the board. So what we know is the current situation is we don't have a chair, nor do we have a vice chair. Mr. Poe has been graciously kind of leading along, and I know initially when we first had a few new members, it was opted that we wait until we had a fuller board, which at this point we're now at 5 members out of 7. So I'm going to just harbor a guess that the best approach is to see if there's anybody that wants to volunteer, and if so, then the board can go to a vote if endorse, or if there's a recommendation from the board of someone they think should, and then we do a vote, if that's agreeable.
Sounds reasonable.
That's agreeable. I did have a question from the last time, which is why I was hoping we could get this on the agenda. I mean, I've never been told exactly what the what each, the chair and the vice chair does, what their responsibilities are, whether or not they're voting members when they get to vote. These are the kinds of things I would like to understand better.
So the nature in which, go ahead. Sorry, Steve.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say I read through the items that were sent, both the Robert's Rules and the election of officers script, and it looks like basically what the chair does, if there's any kind of reports that have to be signed by the commission, the chair is responsible. Obviously, if the chair is not available to either run the meetings or to sign those documents, then the vice chair would be doing that. And also, according to the rules, the chair has no vote unless there is a tie of the other people present at the meeting. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody there.
That's what I understand as well.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. I don't have any problem with someone else being the chair for two reasons. Number one, I like to vote on things. And number two, I am gone from the months, basically from the months of May through either September or October, and would have to attend over the internet. I would not be able to be there personally. So if someone else wants to do this job, go for it.
So based on what I'm seeing in the room present, neither Robin or Becky appear to be interested.
Okay.
You know, Steve, I think we all think you're doing a great job. You've done so well.
Let's get right to it.
Well,
here we go.
I have run a few meetings in my time, believe it or not.
Yes.
As long as everybody understands that I will not be in person probably from the months of April or May through September or October, and I would have to do it virtually, then I don't have any problem with that. And would accept a nomination. Like I said, I do like to vote, so I'm hoping that if we have a few that are split down the middle, that I get a chance to do that, but I can live without it.
Great. Thank you.
So we have a nomination for Steve Poe for the chair. So we need someone has to make a motion, then we need a second, and then we have to vote.
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we nominate Steve Poe to serve as chair on the Parks and Rec Commission.
I will second that.
Okay. And then you do a roll call with all of this. That's how we do it.
Oh, okay. Commissioner Marianne Getzey.
Approve.
Thank you. Commissioner Robin McArdle.
Aye.
Okay. Commissioner Becky Quintero.
Aye.
Needs to consent.
And then, yeah, I don't know. How does it have work? We're all learning here. So it's a Steve vote.
He consents to the nomination.
Right, he consents to the nomination.
Okay.
All right. So, congratulations. So what about vice chair?
I'm having trouble hearing what's going on, so I don't know where to go from here.
So the question is now posed, if there's anyone that if anybody would like to throw their name or names in the hat for vice chair.
Ah, very good. All right. Do you want me to run it from here?
So Robin has nominated Becky.
Becky is hesitant.
I'm considering.
Unless somebody else wants it.
Manon, are you interested at all?
No, thanks.
You get to vote.
Enthusiasm.
I guess
I'll take it.
Thank you.
Okay, so Becky's indicated she would be open to it. So at this point, we would need a motion, a second, and then a vote, or, you know, then a roll call.
Okay.
I'm afraid I didn't hear who that was.
Has made a motion for Becky to serve as vice chair of the Parks and Recreation Commission, and she has consented.
I'll second that if you need a second.
Thank you. Okay, so then we're going to do, we're just going to do a roll call so that we have that for the minutes.
Okay, so roll call, Ms. Manon Agassi.
Aye.
Ms. Robin McArdle.
Aye.
Ms. Becky Quintero.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve Pope.
If I'm allowed to vote, yes, aye.
Thank you.
Okay, so now you have your chair and vice chair. So congratulations to both of you. You're doing an excellent job. No, and I think it's good too because then it'll help. Like with the awards, we didn't know.
Are you ready for me to take over now?
Yeah, you're good to take over.
Okay. Then it looks like we're down to number 5, which is the Robert Price Park action item. So we have a master plan proposal on the table. Greg, are you going to speak first, or are you going to turn it right over to Scott?
I'm going to start it off first, and then I'll turn to Scott. Diane, if you could stop sharing, because I'm doing intro things. Scott can take over sharing. So, yes, we're looking for your approval to move this master plan on to Mayor and Council for their adoption. Robert Price Park is 43 acres, brand new park. We have not done any development out here yet. South of I-10, up against the railroad. I think Scott's pulling up there, so it's easy to see. We've been working with Scott Martinez and McCann and Associates to develop this master plan through the community engagement process. And I'll let Scott take it from here.
Great. Well, thank you for having me today. I'm excited to present this to the commission. And, it's not often we get to work on new parks in the city of Tucson. So we have lots of existing parks. So we're excited to get sort of fresh ground here and see what we can do to provide a nice amenity to the public. So for this project, as you all know, it was on the Prop 407 bond list and had several amenities slated for this project in there. So with our master plan, we incorporated these elements and also had a public process to solicit the feedback from the public. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but so this is an existing site, as you know, to the north of the site, we have the Union Pacific Railroad, and beyond that, we have sort of Davis-Monthan, the Pima Air and Space Museum, and to the south, we have a newer community called La Estancia, as well as another subdivision to the west. The site is pretty much it's half and half. It's been disturbed by, you know, all sorts of activities over the years, but no development. There's some nice native vegetation on site. So we have some pictures of there showing some of the views from the site. The one at the top is looking to the south at the La Estancia community. Another great amenity or feature near this park is it's right along the loop, along the Julian Wash, along the southern edge. Have great views to the Recon Mountains to the east. There's some existing, this is some of this disturbance or development on the site is just some just existing dirt roads and some invasive vegetation, but some of it's dense. There's an existing channel that I believe was part of probably the railroad development that's on the northern half of the site. And this last photo here is another view to the south where you can see the Santa Rita Mountains in the distance. Like I said, we had a public outreach process. We had two public meetings in an online format. The first was more of an introduction to the park and the site. It was well attended by neighbors, and we didn't want to present a plan to the public at that time, because a lot of times those things influence what their kind of wants and needs are. So we kind of just gave them the layout, kind of what I just showed you, and just some spatial features, like, you know, how big a football field is, or how big a soccer field or baseball diamond, and how those could fit in the park. And then we got lots of great feedback. If you go to this website here at the bottom, you can see all the different comments we received. We asked a survey of what you like and don't like and what features you want. The larger words here in this picture kind of are the standout items: softball fields, walking areas, pickleball courts. One that we were kind of surprised, but we did get lots of interest in, was the disc golf, and we were kind of surprised. So yeah, we were able to incorporate some of that, not in our first initial draft, but the second one. As our second meeting, we presented the master plan draft and had lots of great feedback. I think on this survey online, it was, 4.7 out of 5 stars, and there was all positive comments. But the one big comment was, we want disc golf. So we went back and took a look at the master plan and added a disc golf component. So, and that's what we'll present now. This is an overview. We want to have some fun with this. Wanted to mention, if you're not aware, this piece of property was donated by Robert Price Sr., who was a local Tucson developer. So wanted to pay homage to him, have this sort of construction theme, which I think would be popular with, the playground theming and other components of the park, just to provide some context for why we have this theme going here. So extreme fun ahead. We have the overall site plan here, and I'll get into more detail, but we have sort of more active recreation with the larger rectangular and diamond fields, some court facilities for basketball and pickleball, playground and fitness areas, along with Ramadas, and another request of the public and the ward office was a place or a space to have large group events and large Ramadas, where the community can gather in something else than a sort of your typical smaller rentable Ramada. So this would be a larger event space. Dog park is another item that came out of the public process, and as well as community garden, some nature trails. So disc golf, it's not a full sort of 18-hole or basket course, if you will, but we're able to fit a 9-hole course in there that within the park. And then I think some of the folks in the meeting's favorite thing is the O&M compound. So we'll make sure we get those folks able to maintain this site in this park.
What is an O&M compound? Excuse me.
That's an operations and maintenance facility. So place to store all their, yeah. Good question.
Thank you.
It's my park lingo. I didn't know what a compound was for a while. Then I was like, oh, that's an O&M facility. So I combined them here. So no question. We'll get into some detail here. The bond items were to provide two lighted LED lighted diamond fields. So Little League softball and baseball. And two rectangular fields that could be programmed for whatever you can fit on a rectangular field, anything from soccer, football, rugby, lacrosse items. There's points of access, and there's also a sort of perimeter walking path that surrounds those fields. The courts, as we all know, pickleball is pretty popular. So we've provided 6 courts here, and within the court space, there's some smaller shade came out of the public process. We want shade, and it's typical here in Tucson. And also we provided shade over the basketball courts as well. So this is our the fitness challenge area. So kind of think of a Ninja Warrior type course or something. You kind of have some examples in these photos, but that was a big popular thing in our public outreach process. So there's a space for that where we can provide a large group sort of fitness area or challenge course, and then also provide sort of the fitness stations that would be located along the walking path within the park. Play area. So big item here for our park is we have our typical 2 to 5 year old smaller children playground space in this area, and a 5 to 12 year old for the larger or older children. And one thing we're seeing that's super popular are these zip lines, and super fun way to incorporate that into the park. So also providing some sort of passive turf area within the playground area. A lot of times you're just kind of boxed out by a soccer game going on, or there's not a warm-up space, sorry, just getting some feedback here. But the other components of this, you know, there's another slide for Ramadas, but you'll see there's several Ramadas that could be rentable. And then this larger, where my arrow is a 40, I think a 40 by 60 larger group event Ramada. So, and that provides a place that's connected to this turf area, so events could spill out into that space. Looking at some of the themes, we're having fun with that. We know that the railroad runs right by our site, so a rail theme or something along those lines. Also, the one here in the upper left has a construction theme with a, you know, there's different ways that we can theme the playgrounds to have some fun with that. Also have Davis Mountain nearby, so we thought aerospace or the airplane and jets and things would be fun to incorporate into the playground theming. One thing that we also wanted to provide was some sort of satellite nodes within the park to provide some interpretive spaces. We're calling them playground nodes, but as you're walking through the park, you'll notice on the north half we have a railroad and it would be fun to sort of incorporate some interpretive signage with a theme that talks about the history of the rail and why it is where it is, and then work those into little sort of smaller areas around the park, because we know it'll just create more interest and fun that way. So I have a couple of themes here. One was the railroad. One is the airport airline with the radio tower or different features, and then more of a natural play area, this one on the bottom. So it doesn't have to, it's for children of all ages. So, splash pad is listed on the bond approved amenities, and that would be featured near the playground and also near that larger event space with some Ramadas and a restroom nearby. The restroom would also help serve as an equipment space for the splash pad circulation system. Talked about some of these Ramadas, so this is what we had in mind, where we can have, you know, large, you know, 100 people in one Ramada space type of event. Within it. These are number 2 on this plan here, and then the smaller rentable Ramadas are throughout the park, in the dog park and other spaces. The 3 restrooms would be are in the master plan. One would be located in this building here, near between the recreational fields or the active recreation fields. That would also feature a concession within that restroom, sort of combined building. The other restroom near the splash pad and one near the dog park. And this slide, we're showing the dog park space. So we have lots of room. I think this provides over 1.5 acres of dog park space, and these would be divided into different sizes for the larger and smaller dogs, as well as make sure we provide buffering between those so we don't have any fighting through the fence, so to speak. We've noticed if we provide a nice buffer or vegetative buffer between these different size or types of dog park areas, it's a little calmer in there. Community garden was highly rated on the public in the public process we had, and that space is provided. What's in here is basically some raised garden beds and a place for storage and access to irrigation water and tools and things. The nature trail extends over a mile and a half or potentially more, and you're able to make several points of connection throughout the park and runs through the natural areas and into the space to the east. And the O&M facility is located here in the northwest corner of the site. A bridge connection is probably a high dollar item, but we thought there is an opportunity being next to the loop that we could provide a connection in this little pullout here that would be, neighbors wouldn't have to come out to Wilmont, and I don't believe there's a sidewalk along there, but they could have a nice, safer connection to their community from the park. This is the new feature in our master plan is the disc golf. So this, typically on a disc golf course, you kind of want to start and stop around the same area. In this layout, we're showing it's starting in our eastern portion of the site with three holes there, and then continue onto the western portion of the site. And it's located along the nature path in a way that flows pretty well. This is a typical sizing. Obviously, this would need to be refined once we get into more detail, but try to show smaller and larger size different disc golf holes there. Now for the fun stuff. The preliminary cost estimate, and we're working on several projects right now that are in construction. So we are seeing lots of, I'm sure, as you are well aware, cost increases. So this is the ultimate build out for the park based on today's costs that we're seeing. I don't need to run through all of these, but the overall, since this is a new park, there needs to be a good investment into the park infrastructure, bringing water and power and all the different utilities that we need for the park, as well as entries and things that come off of Wilmont Road. So that's included in this estimate, and try to itemize these into each area, and I can go into some more detail if you'd like, if you have questions, but we have a bit of a contingency, so all together, all the amenities come out to be around $12 million, but then, we never know what's going to happen with cost and how those fluctuate, so there's a 20% contingency in there added, as well as contractors' markups, things like bond, insurance, and overhead. So looking at around $20 million for all amenities if we were to do this tomorrow.
Now, Scott, that's my big question is, I understand that there's a lot less money available than this $20 million for this project. So is this listed in the order of importance as far as completing these, or how do you determine that?
The next slide here, looking at a phased approach and how we can do that. Obviously, I think what was in the bond was about $4 million for the initial improvements, which included the four sports fields, the splash pad, playground, and Ramada restrooms. And, we're close, but I think that's probably in line with what you're seeing on some of your projects that are in construction. So that's the hard part. What do we take out and what do we provide? And coming up with a phased approach on this map here is just a quick, this is what would be included if we just did these amenities at this moment. And things like maybe we hold off on not doing the restroom concession at the moment. The O&M area may not get a building, just a fenced area for now. We could hold off on some of the play equipment or the large event Ramada, things like that. So
you're suggesting, if I understand correctly, that the public be made aware that there's going to be a phase in of these things and that this would be the suggested initial construction?
Yeah, I think that's one thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Scott, let me jump in with, I mean, we had some very specific things that we called out in the bond referendum, so those would be the things that we would start with for sure and build upon that. So if you go back to your second slide.
Yeah, I think I could do that. I think I'm right there with you.
We'll start with the information that was in the bond as the highest priorities, and then there you go. And then we can add on from there. We're showing $3.9 million there. We've also got approximately another $2 million in impact fees that the ward office is interested in using. Plus, we did get either $300,000 or $500,000 from the developer in a land exchange. So we're probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million, $6.5 million for construction for phase one.
Okay.
But what we're looking for you is your approval of the master plan.
Right. And then I assume that with the advertising of what this first phase would be, there would be some kind of an estimate of when the other things would be added, assuming that funding is available?
We wouldn't estimate any of the future phases until we have funding available to do that. So whether that's a future bond, more impact fees, the only thing we can promise is what we can do in phase one with the bonds and the current impact fees.
Okay, right. That makes sense.
And that's kind of what priority-wise, where I, with this exhibit was, you know, we did get a lot of interest in a lot of other amenities at the park, and they will fit in this park. It's just, like with many of the parks Tucson's developed, it there's, can't do it all at once. So we're just laying out of a path or a way to get that over time.
Okay. Questions from the commission on, Scott's presentation?
Yes, I have a question, Robin.
Go for it, Robin.
Thank you. So, you're right, we don't often get new parks. So, what are we approving?
The master plan.
What part?
So,
$20 million?
When we do a master plan, you're not approving the budget or anything. You're just saying that the concept that we're showing based on community input is what that park should look like in the future. And then what we do with that, once mayor and council approves it, is we identify how much we can fund through bonds and impact fees, and then everything else goes into a future capital improvement program.
Okay. I have a question.
So even though we don't have any
representation. I'm sorry. I have a question.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Just because I'm a desert rat, and every time you tear up desert, the snakes and scorpions come out. And in a sandbox, scorpions love the sandbox as well as kitties. And so before I approve a master plan, I would take out the sandbox. But it's a beautiful plan. I love it. But I am worried about kids playing in sand with scorpions and our desert animals. That's one thing that I fear all the time because I've seen it. And the feral cat loves sandboxes. And put a child in a sandbox with kitty pooping is not fun. I also am wondering about our maintenance. I know that operations and maintenance are understaffed, and I am worried about another park with not enough people to maintain. That's just an issue that I have, that I see on our side of town.
Yeah. So what will happen is as this park, depending on how the construction goes and the timing, when we have a new amenity and it's increasing staff capacity needs, then we go as part of our annual budget process and request additional positions. So last year, We went in and attributed staff hours that we needed to get caught up on from the 2018 improvements that had opened from when the bond started up till last spring. And through that, we got, it was a combination of staff related to bond improvements, as well as staff related to wanting to get some B-shift evening coverage. And through that, I want to say we got 8 groundskeepers and 2 park maintenance coordinators. So what Mike and his team did is they estimated all the increased hours associated with the new amenities, and then we tried to divide by 48. That's how many bodies we needed, and then we determined what title. We'll continue to do that as we move forward through the bond. So all of these new improvements, even another good example, Santa Rita's an existing park, but the master plan calls for amenities that were not formally at that park. We calculate based on those new amenities how many new hours are going to be required to maintain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No
problem.
Lara, I was just seeing a hand in. Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say we also got 2 additional aquatic staff because of all the additional splash pads going in. So Lara's absolutely correct, and she's done a great job of selling the point that with more facilities, we need more staff. So that is happening, thankfully.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Anybody else on the commission have a question for Scott or Greg or Mike? Manon, go ahead.
Hey there. I wanted to say kudos around having the barrier in the dog park if you win and when you get it to keep the, if there is a fence, the dogs will bark and it's loud for everybody. So that's a really great thing. I hope to see it in more parks as we do that. I do have a question about the splash pads and the way that they circulate. I've been reading some disturbing reports about children getting sick nationwide and even dying from splash pads around diapers, you know, and basically these things being used as bidets, you know, without unintentionally. So what kinds of circulation are we using to prevent that kind of thing from happening?
Yeah, there's 2 treatments. So the Pima County doesn't have a formal sort of splash pad code ordinance that regulates what the requirements. They do for pools, and we kind of follow those, but there's typically a chemical process to kill any bacteria and all the germs in the water source, and then there's also a secondary, either UV or other types of treatment. So we get a double, sort of a twice the amount of assurance that we're not going to have any issues with that sort of problem. And our one of the parts of this is sometimes with these splash pads, they're not sized correctly, where you have a storage tank of water that recirculates that's not big enough. So the time that needs to clean the water and recirculate that is it doesn't have enough time, and things get through. So with the parks we've done, the few splash pads we've done so far out of the bond project, we're incorporating a large storage tank, oversized, just to make sure that there's not going to be any issues. So we're sort of in the know about that. So it's definitely a concern that we're addressing in any new splash pad that we do.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
Any other questions of Scott or Greg or Mike? All right. Do you gentlemen have anything else that you want to tell us before we entertain a motion to move forward with this?
Not me.
I don't hear anything.
Mr. Fowler,
all right.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. All right, please go
I'll
ahead.
Make a motion. Thank you. I'll make a motion that we accept or approve the master plan for the Robert Price Park.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
I'm happy to second, Steve. Thank you.
All right, Manon, thank you. So we have a motion and we have a second to approve the Price Park Master Plan. Any further discussion? All right. Those of you who can vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. If there are four of us, please show that it passed 3-0. All right. Reports from the Parks and Recreation Commissioners first. Do any of you ladies have anything that you would like to report?
This is Becky. I would.
Oh, Becky.
On February 4th, I am organizing a Peace Garden 20th birthday party, and you're invited from 10 to noon at 5901 South Fiesta, which is in Menlo Canada. Junior Park in the Peace Garden.
And would you repeat when this is, the date and the time?
February the 4th. It's a Saturday and from 10 to noon.
10 to noon. Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Robin or Manon, do you have anything that you would like to report?
I don't.
Don't see anything. Okay. Diana, were you able to forward my question to anybody who could give me an answer?
I forwarded that to Greg.
Okay. Greg, did you get the message about, I was curious about the difference of the estimates for the splash pads, knowing that Reed Park is much bigger, but I noticed that the cost for the splash pad between Reed Park and Himmel Park was about, I think the Reed Park plan was maybe 5 times or 6 times higher.
Yes, let me clarify that your question you posed was about the ward update document that we provide in your information materials, specific to Ward 6, showing Himmel Park splash pad at $224,000 and Reed Park splash pad at like $1.25 million.
That's correct, yes, sir.
So just to clarify things a little bit, so Himmel Park is actually budgeted at $166,005 and $224,000 being back fees, and I'll explain why we did that in a second. The $1.25 million figure for Reed Park is not just a splash pad, but you'll see on the report it also includes Ramada improvements. So that $1.2 million
is included.
Also
okay.
Ramada's and splash pad. So, but to go into the splash pad, to give you a little understanding, we have 25 splash pads budgeted in the bond. 11 of those were budgeted at $166,000. Those were intended for pools that have existing wading pools, and we are going to convert those wading pools to splash pads.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Two things came out of that. Once we started putting these plans together, we realized, number one, you can't build a whole lot that anybody's going to want to visit for $166,000. And the second thing we heard loud and clear was people wanted shade over splash pads. So for $166,000, we really couldn't do that. What we came up with is we really needed closer to $390,000 to make enough of a splash pad to make it worth it going to and putting shade over it. So I went to the mayor and council and suggested that we take $224,000 out of impact fees for every splash pad that's budgeted at $166,000, and then rebudget those basically at $390,000. So that's what we have done. For all of those 11 that were budgeted at $166,000, we budgeted impact fees to take those to $390,000, so that we'll get a little bit bigger splash pad and have some shade with it. Then there's 13 other splash pads that were budgeted at $315,000. These are standalone splash pads, so they're not tied to an existing pool, which means we got to build a circulation system, a sanitation system. They were budgeted at a higher amount. Again, we still need shade structures over those. So the recommendation to mayor and council members was let's take $125,000 for impact fees and budget that with the $315,000 at those larger splash pads to give us a budget close to the $440,000. So all of the splash pad budgets have been combined with impact fees to ensure it a little bigger and add shade to them. And then repark was the final one. It was originally budgeted at $745,000. Again, thinking that repark is going to be more of a destination type splash pad. We haven't added specific dollars to that yet from impact fees, but we do anticipate trying to get another $500,000 to $600,000 in additional funding for repark to bring it up to closer to 1.3 to 1.5 million. We'll get the final number for building that splash pad. So. Okay. That's why you're seeing different numbers for different ones. It's really about whether it's tied to a pool,
I didn't figure there would be a simple answer, so thank you very much.
I emailed it to you, so you have that email also.
Okay. All right, anybody else from the Parks and Recreation Commission before we go to the staff reports? All right, not seeing any hands. Let's try... staff, who's got something for the staff, from the staff?
I just wanted to share with the commission two new events that we're putting on that are coming up soon. We have one coming up February 14th at the COPA, which is next to Clements Center. It's an event that we've never done before with wine tasting. It's $30, so if you want to take a date, it's a pretty cheap date. And there'll be some food trucks, and there's a jazz fusion band that's coming out. We're working with Stan Reckoner. So it's some activities and some food and some drinks. It's at 5 o'clock. There's a $30 fee. I mean, you can't beat that. It's $30. The wine and the chocolate. It'll be great. So that information's out on all our social media pages as well as our rec centers. And then the second one we're having is March 26th, the day after our extravaganza in Ward 3. At Mansfield Park. I'm just plugging away here. So that event is actually for high school students. It's a battle of the bands. We've got a couple of new staff in our special event unit, and so they're doing some different things, and so they have some different connections. And that particular one for the battle of the bands, the winner will actually win studio time to record an EP. I don't know what's the difference between an EP and an LP, but it's not my thing. So they'll win some studio time and also a release party by some agent company that does that sort of thing. So those two are coming up on your calendars. The Battle of the Bands will be at OPC.
Sorry, go ahead.
The Battle of the Bands will be at OPC, Steve, at Reed Park.
Oh, very good. I believe an EP is usually just about four tracks, where an LP is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 14. So it's a shortened version of an LP.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you, sir.
Not only chairman, but resident music expert.
Okay. Any other staff before Lara takes over? All right. Lara, what have you got for us today?
I was just going to say, you have in your packet the board updates. Any questions on that, feel free to ask. We did have a ribbon cutting for Fort Hall Playground on Friday the 13th. You all were invited. I know Mr. Poe was there. Great event. This was a partnership with Burke Playgrounds. You know, we had $260,000 in bond dollars, but we got more like a $400,000 to $450,000 playground working with them for our bond. So it was a very good ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yeah, if you have not been over to Fort Lowell Park to go look at the playground, you really need to do that, because of all of the extra equipment and the shade structures and everything else, it is phenomenal. When I drove into the parking lot, there were about 120 purple people. They weren't purple people. They were actually people dressed in purple of some kind or other, climbing all over that equipment.
And I guess I'm the last one. So the only thing I wanted to let the commission know, so for the last year, Both the mayor and the city manager's office and different departments have been working through a process called federal earmark funding. It's where the city gets to propose certain projects to be funded through federal dollars that, from what I understand, are attributed under Congress or senators have access to. So the good news is the city overall got in the ballpark of $12 million, but two of them are impacting parks in particular. The first one is Mission Manor Pool. Originally on the bond, Mission Manor was going to be getting a renovation of the pool and a brand new splash pad, but once we started looking at the condition of the pool and the amount of money that it would actually take to bring it back to life, it was thought it would be better to do a brand new pool. So we went actually and doubled down and asked for an aquatic complex. So we got $2.9 million towards that endeavor. And what that complex will be comprised of is a splash pad, an open recreation pool, and a therapy pool. So similar into some of what the services that the ARCOP provides for the therapy pool. So we don't have the money in hand just yet, but the design is already a little past 30%. So we're excited because that's really going to transform a pool that's been closed and part of the park that's been neglected for a while and really activate it. And the second tranche of money that we got that impacts parks was over at El Pueblo. El Pueblo has been plagued with a lot of issues, violence, drugs, gang activity. We are still in the process because there's a lot of different folks that are involved in the final decision of the improvements for the park itself. And I want to say that was $2.7 million attributed over there. And right now we're in the process of trying to identify new funds that we're going to try and pursue for the next process. So I'm excited about that. It's new money coming in, new investment that's really going to deliver quite a nice impact. So that's my big report. Greg mentioned the Fort Lowell Playground. That was going to be the other thing that I really wanted to make sure people went and checked out. It's a really neat playground. And you can tell the community is loving it. So, and that'll be it for me, Mr. Poe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thanks for the good news about the extra money coming in. That's great. All right. Let's go on to item number 7, which is future agenda items and the next meeting date. Do we have any particular future agenda items that any of the commission members would like to have put on the agenda?
Mr. Pope?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just would like to see a report on the people who are outside contractors that take care of our parks.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen some of their work and I'm not real pleased. So can we have a report on the status of their
what they're contracted to do?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Gotcha.
Okay, Diana, did you get that so that you know what to try to put on the agenda?
I did, thank you.
All right. Manon, okay. Go ahead.
I think we...
Go ahead, Diana. Finish up.
Okay, thank you. Just really quick, I think we have an item from Sue from the previous meeting, which was the renaming of Christopher Columbus Park.
Oh,
so
yes.
We'll add that.
That's true. All right, thank you. Okay, yeah. Now go ahead, Manon.
Okay, I was curious as to when, it's a question, but also maybe an agenda item, when construction on Santa Rita Park is going to begin. And, I've been hearing along with many others some disturbing reports of a couple of deaths of unhoused people in that park. And I'd like some better understanding about how the city of Tucson is going to help, there's going to be a lot of construction and there's a lot of unhoused people there, how this is going to be addressed.
so that people are safe and okay. If that's appropriate.
Is that a good idea?
So I heard two questions, so I just want to make sure I'm clear. You want to know when the construction is going to be starting or what the timeline for those improvements will be, and then also how will the city plan to address the unhoused who are there, correct?
Correct. Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Manon. Did you have anything else?
No, thanks.
All right. All right, if you'll put your hand down then. Anybody else on the commission have anything they want to request to be on the agenda? According to what I read, our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, February 22nd. That would still be at 3:30 p.m. The location which I hope to be at is the Tucson Parks and Recreation Administration office. They're in the Mesquite Room. And unless somebody has anything else, I can't move the agenda up to see if there's anything underneath it.
That would be it. Somebody
Hey, does anybody have anything else before we adjourn? If not, then I would entertain a motion at this time to adjourn the meeting.
Mr. Poe, I will make a motion to adjourn.
And I will second.
And it's been seconded. All right. Any discussion? All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Heard one.
Aye. I think everybody.
It was like unison. I think that's it. It's kind of hard to tell from here. But anyway, thank you all very much for showing up and asking your questions. And like I said, I'm going to try to be there in person because it's a little difficult to do this with a few people not in the room and a bunch of people in the room because the microphone does not work relatively well. So thank you all.